The Lord be with you. Hey, we have a lot of guests with us this morning, a lot of students visiting. Yeah! Welcome to Hope College. We hope this is a place you soon discover to call home. But there's another guest that I want to introduce. This morning, we have the privilege of having Chris Dorsey with us. Chris is the professor of theology and preaching at Western Seminary, right across the path. Chris has a 9-year-old daughter, Alanis, and he's actually one of my professors right now. So be really, really nice. Let me pray for you. Lord, we pray for the words that Chris will speak. We pray that you will speak through them and that you will speak through your word and draw us closer to you. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that was much better. I understand that many of the people who have been bringing the word to you have been coming from the book of Romans. So by now, you're familiar enough with the book of Romans so that I probably don't have to spend a lot of time telling you that it is about the gospel of God. It is about God's righteousness. This is the central theme of the book of Romans. I also probably don't have to tell you too much about even the section that we're in, because the section that we're going to be in today is where God unveils the fact that Jesus Christ is establishing and bringing into fruition the covenant that God established with Abraham. So I'm sure that most of you by now have heard about that, and so I probably don't have to spend that much time talking about that. What I will say is that the book of Romans is Paul's magnum opus. It is one of the most important books of all of Paul's epistles. It is so crucial to understanding the message that Paul delivers to us from Christ that it is like, it's basically his magnum opus. It's like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It's like Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. It's like Jay-Z's Blueprint. Okay, maybe that's not the best analogy. In fact, Paul, can you edit that out of the podcast? But Romans is an important book. It's an important book because it speaks to us about our faith. It gives us some of the most crucial bits of information that we need to understand about our faith in Jesus Christ. And in fact, the verse that I'll be speaking on today is a very important one because it talks to us about justification. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since God is one and he will justify the circumcised and ground of the faith of the uncircumcised through the same faith, we Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. There are two main themes to this section that I would like to share with you very quickly. Very quickly, there are two main themes to this section that are important for us to grasp and important for us to understand. The first major theme is that it is about God's righteousness revealed through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. God's righteousness. God alone is righteous, not us. God is the righteous judge who one day will call us into his courts and will judge us. And as the righteous one who desires to welcome us into his courts and welcome us in with gladness, God knows that we are sinful. God understands our dilemma. God understands our problems. So then in order to stand before the righteous one, we're going to need some help. We cannot stand before God on our own. We must have righteousness imparted to us. We must be justified in faith in Jesus Christ, who himself is the faithful one. It is because of Jesus' faithfulness and our faith in Jesus Christ that we have this righteousness imparted to us. Now, I wish I had about 30 minutes to just stay right there and explicate that particular point, but I'm looking at this clock and I don't have 30 minutes. But we must understand that it is God's righteousness that desires to welcome us into his courts, and it is only through our justification by Jesus Christ that we are able to stand before God. The second major point that this text tells us about, and this is an important one, it speaks to us of the one God, the one faith, and the one people that we are to be. You see, Paul is writing this in the context of Rome. And in Rome, you've got some Christians who are Gentiles. You've got some Christians who are Jews. And you've got some Jews who are coming back to Rome who had been exiled from Rome, and they're coming back in. And so Paul is concerned that everybody understand that they're all in this together. That there is only one God. There is only one faith. And we are only one people. This is an important thing for us to understand as Christians. So important that the Apostle Paul wrote it down, not just for the church in Rome, but that it might be a word that transcended down through the generations and speaks to us as well. There is no privileged position concerning justification. There is no privileged position concerning faith. You may be justified whether you are Jewish or Gentile, whether you are male or female, whether you are Dutch or non-Dutch. There is no privileged position concerning our faith. We serve one God. We have one faith in Jesus Christ, and we as Christians are one people. That's the second major message that we get from this particular passage. But there's one last thing that I'd like to explore, and it comes in the last verse. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. What about this law, though? What about the law? It's fascinating. I've been a college chaplain before, a dean of a chapel before, and I have thoroughly enjoyed working around college students and with college students, because college is one of the most amazing times in our lives. We come to college and we think about graduating, and one day we get that diploma, and that diploma is going to hang on our wall, either in our den somewhere or maybe in our offices when we get those nice six-figure jobs. It's okay to say amen. But the fascinating thing about college is that we think about the diploma as sort of the end goal, and that's what you get when you leave college. You get that diploma. But the reality is that the diploma itself is not the most significant thing about the experience of college. That sheepskin that you may get one day that may hang on your wall is not what you ultimately take from this institution. You take from this institution an education that forms you, that prepares you, that enables you to go out into the world and to live into the world and to go into great careers and to have families and to be prosperous and productive in your lives. That's what you get from college. But you also get something else. You get some extraordinary relationships. The people sitting next to you in the pews and standing against the walls that sit with you in your classrooms, that share dorm rooms with you, those relationships will stay with you for the rest of your lives. Those relationships will enable you to live out your lives and to be successful. What about the law? The reality is that the law of God is not just something in a book. It is something that gets inside of us. It is something, it is an education that forms us, it shapes us, it prepares us to live our lives as faithful Christians. It's not something that just exists on some stone tablets. It's not something that's just read by a priest once a year. It is something that once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it comes into us, it shapes us, it changes us, and it prepares us for a life of faithfulness. We also get something else. We get a relationship. We get an extraordinary relationship with Jesus Christ, who stays with us for the rest of our lives, who enables us to do what the law requires of us. It is that relationship in Jesus Christ that allows us to uphold the law. Jesus is the righteous one of God. And in Jesus, we are able to do some amazing things. In Jesus, we become new creations. In Jesus, we become part of God's renewal of the world. In Jesus, we have someone who has promised to be there for us even when we fall short of the law. In Jesus, we have a true high priest, one who is able to keep us from falling and present us as faultless, as righteous before the righteous one. To Jesus be glory, power, authority, now and forever. Amen.